Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of important stories in the news, beginning with the collision course the US and Iran are on that could result in another war in the Gulf, which at a minimum would drive oil prices way up in an election year. A veteran CIA officer, Robert Baer, joins us to discuss the lethal mixture of Iranian paranoia, Israeli threats, and American election year politics that, combined with provocative naval exercises, could result in an incident that would spark a wider conflagration. Then we'll continue looking into this incendiary mix with Vali Nasser, an Iranian-born professor of international politics at Tufts University, who was recently the senior advisor to President Obama's special representative for Afghanistan and Pakistan. We will discuss Iranian President Ahmadinejad's trip to Venezuela, Cuba, Ecuador, and Nicaragua to gain support as sanctions ratchet up, and Iran announces a new drill to close the Straits of Hormuz, codenamed the Great Prophet, that will coincide with joint U.S.-Israeli exercises in the Gulf, codenamed Austere Challenge 12. Then finally, as Arab League foreign ministers meet in Cairo, we will assess new efforts to give some backbone to the Arab League monitors in Syria as the Assad clan continues its murderous repression of the Syrian people. Dr. Muraf Juwajati, a former Syrian diplomat in touch with the Syrian opposition, who now teaches at the National Defense University, joins us. We will discuss whether UN human rights experts will be allowed to bolster the toothless mission that so far has been unable to stop the killing. I'm now joined by Robert Baer, a veteran CIA operations officer who served in various Middle East countries, including Iraq, Lebanon, and Syria. He is the author of three New York Times bestsellers, See No Evil, which was made into the movie Syriana, Sleeping with the Devil, and The Devil We Know, dealing with the Iranian superpower, the new Iranian superpower. His latest book, co-written with his wife, Dana, is The Company We Keep, a husband and wife's true life spy story. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Baer.
Good morning.
So there's so much activity going on in the Gulf, not just in terms of the threats that are made by almost all of the Republican candidates. They seem to be tripping over each other in these debates to be the first to bomb Iran. But there's some movements on the ground that are quite troubling. There's a very, very big exercise underway in Israel involving about 9,000 U.S. soldiers that are arriving now along with an aircraft carrier. That's also it's an anti-missile defense exercise as well as combined naval exercises in the Gulf. The Iranians are just announcing that after having just completed an exercise to shut down the Straits of Hormuz, they're going to start another one next month. And the Russians have just deployed a Russian naval flotilla led by an aircraft carrier just docked in the Syrian port of Tartus. I thought the Cold War was over.
Well, there's a couple points I'd like to make, and one is that I think what we're looking at here today is a policy based on Israel's threat to hit Iran's nuclear facilities. And the administration has come back to Israel and said, no, it's not doable, it's too dangerous, we'll pay the price, etc. And in return, the administration has said, let's make one final effort at sanctions, true sanctions, on Iranian oil, on its central bank, get the Europeans to stop buying it, and a couple other countries, and give us a chance to make sanctions work. And in the meantime, there's been a lot of saber rattling in exercises in Israel, moving another aircraft carrier into the Gulf and the rest of it. And I think the administration is hoping this is an end game into pressuring Iran to giving up its nuclear program. I mean, at the same time, the Iranians don't have a nuclear weapon, and they're not close to getting one. Panetta was on Sunday talk shows saying, they're acquiring the knowledge, but they're a long way from actually testing and getting a bomb, which, of course, isn't the way the neocons portray it or the Republican candidates. This is an election year, fine. But I'll tell you what disturbs me is Iran. How much more pressure can they take before they react? I've been talking to some friends in Washington who said this attempt on the Saudi ambassador, these are people I trust. I don't think they're spinning it for me. They think it was real, that there's some irrational side of the Iranian government that won't take well the pressure. If you press the Iranians hard enough, they become paranoid, and they do things that are not in their interest and certainly not in ours. So what I'm trying to say is this escalation could get out of hand very quickly, and it could snap any day at any time where some element in Iran attacks one of our boats, fires a missile across the Gulf, and from there it's impossible to tell where the conflict would go.
So at this point, Robert Baer, is this escalation of the sanctions and turning on the screws and these naval exercises, etc., is this America's way of? I mean, who's running the show here? Are the Israelis saying? And we know that there have been previously a lot of warnings from senior Israeli military officials and intelligence officials that they were concerned that Netanyahu was too adventurous and too belligerent in this regard, even for them. So are the Israelis basically saying to the Americans, look, if you guys don't do something effective, like cripple them with sanctions, we're going to go ahead and attack? Is that how this game is being played?
I think it's a smart gamble on the part of the Israelis. I mean, this is an election year in this country. They've got a voice through their supporters in Congress and through the GOP candidates. I think it's a very smart move on their time. Get what they can while they can, and you know, put a lot of pressure on. And because by next year, after the elections, they won't have that sort of leverage.
Well, but could it be worse than that, in a sense that we know that Netanyahu's loyalties are entirely with the Republicans? They fated him recently in the Congress in a way that was almost unprecedented in terms of their almost adoration of him. Given what's happening now with these Republican candidates who are voicing all of this belligerence or competing to be the most belligerent against Iran, many of whom are being advised by the neocons, I sense, when you mentioned paranoia in Iran, Robert Baer, I sense a kind of symbiosis between the IRGC people who are running the show in Iran, who are incredibly paranoid, and they've effectively squashed all opposition. I don't think this notion of the embers burning under the ashes is. I think that's wishful thinking on the part of liberals. I don't think
go ahead. More than that, I mean, if you're in the IRGC and you failed to do anything for Iran economically, wouldn't you welcome some sort of an attack now? Simply to demonstrate to the Iranians, look, we're under siege. We're being attacked. We haven't done anything. We haven't built a nuclear bomb. We're being strangled. This is neocolonialism. It's a very simple message to sell to the Iranians and for them to regain some influence and power, and more than they already have. So what it scares me is this is sort of a logic of war where one country wants to force an issue and the other one, you know, wants to play the game too. And this doesn't even get to the whole question of what's happening in the Middle East, Iraq, which is facing the abyss in terms of a civil war. You've got the Saudis are sending money into the Sunnis. The Iranians are supporting radical groups, which are joining Maliki's government now and have a huge influence on it. And then the Iranians are also paranoid about Syria because they don't want to lose Syria. That's sort of their outlet to the Arab world, to Hamas, to Hezbollah. And you've got Hezbollah that's paranoid as well. So there's all these movable pieces at any point could change the picture overnight.
Well, when you say, Robert Baer, that the IRGC are basically telling the Iranian people that we're under siege from a colonial power, That's apparently pretty much what President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is saying, at least he's quoted as saying, as he left on Sunday for this trip to Latin America, that where he will go to Venezuela, Cuba, Ecuador, and Nicaragua, saying that he's going there to resist the oppression of the United States and shore up an anti-colonial view.
Well, that's, Ian, that scares me. I mean, that's just pathetic on his part. Or if he is delusional enough to matter, you know, to think that Venezuela could do anything for Iran, he's not thinking very clearly. But this comes back to Iranian paranoia when they feel encircled, as they did in the 80s in the Iran-Iraq War. They exported violence. And this is something I had hoped they'd gotten over. But if you continue to encircle them, they will turn to violence. And they have a lot of capabilities in the Gulf that we just can't immediately. It would take weeks to get rid of their missiles on a bombardment. In the meantime, you know, could they take out a lot of Gulf oil productions? I think so. You know, a missile expert might disagree with me, but I think they could.
Well, apparently this exercise that's going on now between the U.S. and Israel, called Austere Challenge 12, where the U.S. is deploying apparently a lot of anti-missile equipment and training to coordinate with the Israelis, who've also invested heavily in anti-missile deployment. The Israeli military historian Martin von Kriwall is quoted as saying that this is actually all directed at Iran, in the sense that Israel is preparing for an inevitable Iranian counterattack should Israel attack the Iranian nuclear sites. So again, you know, this is more than rumors of war. This is talk of war.
No, I mean, the last time we talked, we were sort of ridiculed about rumors of war, but I think it's come to pass. You know, we are much closer than we talked about, was it 3 or 4 months ago? It's worrying a lot of people. You see the Gulf Arabs are preparing. You're seeing money moved around. And, you're seeing these proxy conflicts between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Syria is one of them, where Saudi Arabia is supporting the street, the Muslim Brotherhood, et cetera, and Iran is supporting the regime. But when does a proxy conflict, again, get out of hand? And go back to the attempt on the Saudi ambassador, Adel Jaber. If that really did happen, I mean, that is a bad sign if they're going to set off a bomb in Washington in a crowded restaurant. That's an act of war. But see, this is what the State Department is going on. It worries people at the State Department. I know that this the Iranians have become irrational. And I think if, in fact, the Europeans stop buying their oil, if they are truly, you know, this stuff is embargoed, the Iranians won't let it stand.
Well, apparently they probably will lose the European markets. They won't lose China and India. There's been a lot of pressure on India not to buy Iranian oil, but they have resisted so far. But at the very least, they'll have to discount their oil, and that will cut into their revenues that keep their people happy. And you know, as far as I can tell, in terms of internal Iranian politics, they've successfully squashed the opposition. In fact, it's two right-wing groups arguing amongst themselves, Ahmadinejad and the parliamentary speaker. But again, I sense a kind of symbiosis there between the Iranian hardliners and our neocons. They're sort of creating each other's nemesis.
I think everybody's itching for a war. And this president, he started out his administration by trying to, you know, deal with Iran, and he failed just like Clinton did. He did try. He's getting swept up in this, and his immediate concern is to keeping Netanyahu from bombing Iran. And he cannot be sure that he won't do it. And the only way to do that is put so pressure on Iran, and this comes back to the logic of war.
But is there any way that the U.S. could distance themselves from an Israeli attack? I mean, could they just sort of say, well, this is not us, and sit
Absolutely.
On the sidelines?
It wouldn't make any difference at all. The Iranians still believe that British imperialism controls the Middle East. I mean, they're dated on their mythology. So I think that whatever we said, whatever actions we took, it would still look as if we were behind it, and the Iranians are going to retaliate where they can, which would be in, you know, Doha and in Bahrain, where we've got the Fifth Fleet. Those would be two places, and of course oil, and whether they would bring in Hezbollah firing rockets in Israel or not, I don't know. But remember, the Israelis are still smarting from the 2006 war, which was fought to a standstill, and they're still worried about these rockets. So this would be a great opportunity for them to finally do something about Hezbollah, as they said they would.
Well, into this mix, though, you have what's going on in Syria, which has to be alarming Hezbollah. But what could also alarm them even further is apparently the Qataris have set up a highly mobile force to boost the anti-Assad Free Syrian Army, whose numbers now have reached about 20,000 fighters. This is a force of about 2,500 who have been trained in Libya. They were the people who actually took Tripoli. They're apparently located in the Turkish town of Antioch, on the border there, and they're getting money, as you mentioned earlier, from both the Saudis and the Qataris, and they're also in league with some of the Sunni fighting forces inside of who've been responsible for these bombings inside of Iraq. So I think if the Assad's fall, it'll be a big blow to Hezbollah and Iran, but would it also embolden the Sunnis in Iraq and further complicate the tenuous situation in Iraq?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think that once you get a real civil war going on in Levant, it'd be very easy to spread. I mean, you know, you look at sectarian makeup of Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq, and it's a tinderbox, which could go up at any time. And I don't see anybody out there offering a compromise, especially in Syria. I talked to the Muslim Brotherhood the other day, the Syrian Muslim Brotherhood. I said, why isn't the State Department doing something to help us in the street? I said, well, they're worried about slaughter afterwards, you know, sectarian slaughter. And I said, by the way, what do you do with the Alawites? That's the minority regime there. He said, well, you kill them. That's obvious. And I said, well, you see why the State Department's worried? But that's the kind of mentality that can be unleashed at any point.
Well, apparently that the Assads and the Alawites are building a kind of redoubt in the northwestern mountains above Latakia.
That's where they're from originally, yeah. They, right. You know, that's the other thing. Let's send the Alawites back to the mountain where they belong.
Right.
You know, when you have ethnic cleansing like that in a Middle Eastern country, it always leads to more violence. It's inevitable. And I don't see any compromise on either side, either the Alawites or the Sunnis. And then you got the whole question of the Christians, too, which where do they go?
Well, but the critics of both Obama and of the Republicans on our side keep talking about diplomacy. Well, you mentioned earlier, Robert Baer, that Obama tried it and it got nowhere. I assume that the reason is that the IRGC and the Supreme Leader and these paranoids that are running Iran are so invested in the great Satan as a way to keep their people together or keep their regime legitimized that they're not about to give that up.
They also believe in it. The Supreme Leader lost his hand in an explosion, and it was dissidents inside the government that blew his hand off. But until this day, he still tells people and truly believes it was the CIA that tried to assassinate him. And this drives the man, this myth of the CIA. I mean, you know, Christ, if Khamenei could read the CIA files on Iran, he would just laugh. It's a country that we understand almost nothing about. It's very distant. We have no political influence there. And so when anybody talks about unleashing the CIA covert action on Iran, it's just take it as nonsense, as complete nonsense. We're just too distant from that country. It's not doable. So, I mean, you know, when we deal with Iran, it's so much mythology and so much misinformation And that's always the problem when you don't understand a country. You know, when you invade it, you generally invade countries you understand. And that's what happened to us in Iraq.
Well, meanwhile, there's no diplomacy. The sanctions are ratcheting up. And now you have, into this volatile mix, you've got the Iranians announcing a new exercise to close the Straits of Hormuz starting next month. Operation, what is it called, Great Prophet or something? And then you've got this other U.S. Joint U.S.-Israeli exercise going on.
This is why oil is shot over $100 a barrel again. I mean, these people that trade in oil deal in fact, generally. And they are, you know, trading on futures market because they're truly worried about a conflict.
So at the very least, anything, even if it doesn't come to a full-scale war, it's going to affect the price of oil in an election year, already is. That's bad news for Obama.
It's terrible news for Obama. I mean, if oil were to go to $200-$300 a barrel, I don't think I think anybody can beat Obama. I think Michelle Bachmann could come back in the election and beat him.
Well, on that note, Robert Baer, I have to leave you, and I thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, I've been speaking with Robert Baer, veteran CIA operations officer who served in various Middle Eastern countries, including Iraq, Lebanon, and Syria. He's the author of three New York Times bestsellers, See No Evil, which was made into the movie Syriana, Sleeping with the Devil, and The Devil We Know, Dealing with the New Iranian Superpower. His latest book, co-written with his wife Dana, is The Company We Keep, a husband and wife's true life spy story. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with Vali Nasser about this same subject. Absolutely. Let's get sad again.